This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab that cuppa and sit down for Conversations with the Mayor. Join in now as Taran speaks with our region's leaders.
Morena and welcome to Conversations with a Mayor on Access Radio Taranaki. My name is Taran and today we are back with the wonderful Neil Voltsky from the Stratford District Council. Now, Neil has just announced his intention to stand for mayoralty again in the local body elections, which are of course coming up in right now basically. Nominations close tomorrow at midday, so we'll be finding out then whether he's standing unopposed or he's got some competition in the mix. Welcome, Neil.
Well, good morning, Taran, and thank you for that lead-in and short promo.
Anytime. How are you today?
I'm well, thanks. Very well.
That's good. We've got a bit of blustery weather around the region at the moment. It is blowing a gale out in Waikato. What's it like in Stratford?
Well, it was fairly overcast and dull sort of day, actually, but it's nice here in New Plymouth, and hopefully after a few days of rain, we'll get some good weather next week.
Yes, that would be nice. I must admit, I'm enjoying a winter like this. Don't mind winter when it's nice and sunny.
Yeah, it was great last week, that's for sure.
The mountain must look good from your side.
It was brilliant. The snow was well down into the bush and right down past the ski field, so magnificent. But I did notice this morning that it's walked back up the hill again, so so not so much now.
Not so much. Did you get many people popping into Stratford when the mountain's like that after they've been up for the snow?
Yeah, well, where I actually live is quite close to the main access road, the Pembroke Road, and the traffic on weekends on good snow weekends, it's really noticeable. There's a big increase.
Hard to get out of your gate.
Yeah. Hard to get out of the intersection.
That's good. Quite some lines sometimes too, eh?
Yep. Absolutely.
Good. People love snow.
They do. And when you see them coming back down, there's often snow on their bonnet or on the roof of their car. And I don't know how far they get with that. But anyway, it looks quite impressive coming down from the from the mountain area.
Oh, it would. How beautiful. We're very, very lucky to live underneath that beautiful maunga in Taranaki.
Absolutely. It's the one thing that unites us all because we can all see it. And no matter where you are in the region, it still makes you feel that you're part of the same place.
It does. And even when I lived in Wellington and I was travelling home to the region, I could feel how good I felt as soon as I could see the mountain. It gives you that little, oh,
yeah,
I'm home.
When you come through Partia from the south, you turn the corner there at Partia and look up straight ahead and you can see the mountain and that says, yep, I'm back in Taranaki.
Yeah, it does indeed. Yeah. Beautiful. Very lucky that Taranaki moved here all those years ago after fighting over a lady.
Yeah, well, let's hope it's here to stay.
Now, it's been there's been some quite a lot of media discussion from central government, really, about local government over the last couple of weeks since we spoke last. They have announced, or they're at least making noises about rates caps, putting in rates caps on district councils. Yeah. Can you tell us a bit more about that for people who haven't heard of it?
Well, they have, and it was a very topical issue at the local government conference that was held a couple of weeks back. But essentially what's been mooted is putting a limit on the amount that councils can raise rates each year. So, and this is part of a process to try and rein council spending in and get rates increases back under control. So I guess the first thing to say would be that as a councillor or a mayor in my case, we get it. We get the fact that these current rate increases we've experienced in the last few years are unsustainable. We know that and we know it causes a lot of hurt and we're doing our best to get our rates increases back under control, and we have made some good inroads there and we're continuing to do that. But this is a move from central government that effectively says, well, you know, you're not doing well enough, we're going to put some limits in there and cap how much you can increase your rates each year. So that's a politically probably sounds pretty good to the average person out there, and they would generally endorse that. And there's certainly some lobby groups out there promoting the
promoting it. Yep, taxpayers union. Yeah.
But I can say though that it's something you need to be careful what you wish for.
Mm.
You could, and they're looking to split this into two pieces for councils. One is for core services. It looks like that they might not apply this rates cap to core services.
Okay.
And then look to cap some other things, non-core services. But the little catch in there is what fits into what category, and that could be quite an interesting discussion.
Mm.
So there's that one. That's not the way they do it in some other places like New South Wales, where it's a flat rate right across the board. But yes, you can trim little bits out and you can make savings, and we're endeavouring to do that. However, if you continue to sort of sweat the assets, delay spending,
exactly right,
push it back, and things like that, you create this massive bell wave effect.
You
don't see the effect of it in the first few years because things don't necessarily go wrong overnight.
Mm-hmm.
But over a little period of time, if you haven't got enough money to spend on your assets, then you'll create this deficit, which is exactly how we got into the position over the Three Waters.
Exactly.
And so you need to be very careful around that, and that's something that we'll be watching with interest because you're on a short election cycle, you're 3 years, and people are conscious of these things. So you end up with a position where you delay it and delay it, and effectively you're just making a big issue for future generations.
Yes.
So, there are times when you just need to bite the bullet and do it.
Yeah.
And it'll never be cheaper than it is now because the costs continuously go up. So, we'll see what the rates capping stuff looks like when it comes out. The devil will be in the detail.
But also, is that appropriate for central government to start coming poking their noses in local government when maybe some people might question whether central government could do more on their own home turf?
The PC response here, Taryn, is it's actually called overreach.
Yeah.
And there is an element of that. I think some people push back quite hard on that and saying, well, you know, we're doing our best. I think it comes down to what's the bigger issue. And the bigger issue is that the current funding system for councils is not sustainable.
That is true.
You cannot rely on rates alone to fund councils going forward.
Mm.
And the increases, particularly around compliance and the
health
things
and safety
that the government keeps putting on us to continually do, and they keep adding these things, these costs just become a burden by a ratepayer rather than by a taxpayer.
Taxpayer, exactly.
Even though they're the same people.
Exactly, yeah. But I think it is a very valid question because I have watched over the last few years the number of responsibilities that have been put onto councils from central government. So there's this, you take it, you can start thinking about homelessness, you can start thinking about this cost, this compliance cost, all the new building regulations. So they've given that to you, and now they're saying, you're charging too much. We're going to put a rates cap on. That seems a bit disingenuous to me.
Yeah, it does. And that's what kind of irks councils, I think, across the board, because that is the reality of it. And I wouldn't put the blame on one political party or the other. I think they're equally guilty of doing exactly the same thing. A week or two ago, I saw a change in a building regulations where they're going to, IMBE has asked or requires us now to audit a particular activity twice a year instead of once a year. That's effectively doubling the cost of that particular activity.
It is.
It doesn't look like anything on a piece of paper, but there is a cost to it.
Yes.
And so that particular cost will go on to council and therefore onto ratepayers. Mm. So those are the sorts of things that keep happening, and cumulatively they make a hell of a difference.
Yeah, they would. They absolutely would.
Yeah.
So what do you think the model is that could make that more equal? Yeah. Or?
That's the good question, isn't it? There's a lot of people cleverer than I am that
I know that feeling.
haven't come up with a great solution, but I think there's a wide wide acceptance that the current model is not sustainable, and we do need to get creative and come up with something that's much more relevant. And that would be a mixture of things. I don't think there's a silver bullet there.
No.
But there has to be some other option.
Do you know if people are working towards anything at the moment? Local Government New Zealand doing any research or...?
I'm sure that there is work going on along that line, yes.
Yep. Yeah, because it would be nice to get out of what seems to be becoming a bit of a continuous issue with central government and
local government. I think we're at the point where the proverbial is at the wall. That's what it boils down to. And we all recognise there's a problem. What we don't know is what the solution is.
Yep, that's exactly right. Yeah. And I have heard talk many, many times over the years of, link it to inflation, has to be linked to inflation or...
Itself is an issue because while I understand why people say that, it's because their incomes are related to inflation, and so their ability to pay is often determined by the inflation index. But the costs of running a council are nothing to do with inflation. They are much more related to, say, the construction index than it is to the consumer index.
Yes.
Because the sorts of products we buy are concrete and bitumen and steel, and we buy computer software, and we have technical people. So our costs are a completely different mix of costs than you might have in the consumer index, which is based around, groceries and
pizza,
fuel and eating out. So different thing to compare. So one relates to income, really, and the other one relates to expenditure. And so it is relevant, but it's not the best benchmark, I believe.
No, I agree there. Now, there's also been talk from central government about making amendments to the Local Government Act and removing the four wellbeing can you tell us more?
Yeah, so that there's a bill in front of the House at the moment which effectively does that. So the four wellbeings are the part of the Local Government Act that says what we can and can't do. And they've been a political yo-yo, really. They've been in and out. Different governments put them in and out. National took them out previously. Labor put them back in last time they were in office, and now National's taken them out again. So it's still part of the same discussion, which is really trying to narrow council's focus down to what are basic services and core services, and stop councils from getting involved in things that other parties could do, so particularly the private sector. So,
Can you give us some examples?
Well, things like, for example, roading, water services, libraries, parks, they would be core services that you would expect councils to do. But something like event promotions, sort of fringe things that don't economic development.
Things that add value that might not be tangible.
And they're the sort of things that kind of sit there and they're public things because no one else wants to do them.
Yes, they're also things that make us feel good about where we live and make us want to stay in a district and make tourists want to come. So
so that's the kind of difference. So it's more of a focus towards that sort of bricks and mortar rather than the feel-good things.
Interesting. But then who does the feel-good things?
Well, that's the question, isn't it? If councils don't, who does?
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that the private sector doesn't pick up on a lot of those things is because
they're not
economic to do.
Exactly.
And then, of course, that raises the question, well, if they're not economic, why do them?
Yeah.
But they do bring a lot of joy to people. So
they do. And people's well-being and the connection that we have to our community, the way we relate to the people who live down the road from us, those are just as important.
Yeah. So, housing and perhaps homelessness, those kind of things, they all come under some scrutiny, and it's where this lands is the key thing. Yeah.
Mm, interesting. Do we know the timelines of that? If the bill's just before Parliament now, it has a few readings,
I'm not so sure, but I believe it's before the end of the year they intend to have it through.
Interesting. I'll be watching that one with keen eyes. Speaking of political yo-yos, which you mentioned before, Māori wards. Now, they are another thing that have been put in, taken out, put in, taken out, and we now have the Labor government last time removed the piece of legislation that allowed for a citizen-initiated binding referenda on Māori wards, and 42 councils around the Motu then decided to establish a Māori ward, and everything's been going well, to my knowledge, since then. Mm-hmm. And then the coalition government, our new government, have decided that that piece of legislation is going back in. And so now 42 councils around the Motu are having a referendum at this election about whether they want to keep their Māori ward seat for the next election and the one after that. That's correct, eh?
Yeah, you're right, all around there. Yep.
Yeah, and so what I wanted to talk to you about was, as a mayor who's experienced a term with a Māori ward, how's it been? Has it offered anything new or built any relationships that weren't there before? Does it serve a purpose, or has the sky fallen in?
Yeah. well, I can assure you the sky hasn't fallen in, but... Just to pick up on one point that you made there, just in your introduction, you know, it has been a political yo-yo. What changed significantly around this one was the last government removed the need to have a referendum, and it allowed councils to make a decision as they do with every other ward.
Yes.
The Māori ward was the only one that where you had to go and have a referendum on it. So that doesn't sound particularly fair to me and a lot of other people. And so that was removed, and effectively what has changed now is that the current government has put that back. So we're going to have a poll at the with the current local body elections. I might add that that's just another little cost being put upon councils.
Yes, it is. Councils will be paying for
mandate
that.
Just to get back onto that issue.
Make sure you keep your rates under that cap, though.
That's right. And so we'll have that poll. And then the outcome of that, if the community votes to support it and retain it, then the ward just continues in place like every other ward. If it chooses to remove it, then we're locked in for the current triennium, the current one we're in now, plus the one that's about to happen, 25 to 28, and then it would go at that point.
Yeah, and then be re-examined in 6 years' time.
Yeah, which is the normal review process for local body elections.
Yeah.
But getting to your question, has it caused the sky to fall in? No, it hasn't.
Mm-hmm.
We were one of the last councils to adopt that, and I think from memory it was on the last day that it was possible for that to happen.
Oh, wow.
And we had a special meeting of council and passed it, and we've had a Māori ward with one representative since. So there's so much misinformation out there regarding these wards that it's almost hard to know where to start to dispel some of that. But in practical terms, the person in our case, we have just the one, they sit at council like every other council member, they're part of the team like every other council member, they contribute in a positive way. What it's done really, I think, which is the big difference, is that Māori have embraced the idea that they feel that we've brought them into the tent, and they're now at the table contributing to the decision making rather than being sort of informed after the event.
Yes.
And that has done a huge amount of good for our relationship with iwi, and the working relationship we have with our three iwi in particular is really, really solid and really good. And I think there's been a huge gain out of that. And I haven't come across one single situation whereby I would say it's been negative or detrimental. I think it's been positive in every respect. And I hope our community supports it. I don't know what it's like in other communities. I can only speak on our behalf, but I think it's been a good thing for us.
That's phenomenal to hear. And you've been in local government for a long time, so you, when you say that, it means something because you're reflecting on all of your years, decades, you said before.
Decades. Yeah. Back when the old Queen was alive, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, 24 years now. But we have got one councillor, can I just digress slightly? We've got one councillor, John Sanford, who's not seeking re-election this time. And John's just clocked up 30 years on council.
Oh, my gosh.
Which is an amazing length of time.
That is.
For anybody to be in council. So, and he's been a great councillor.
Hey, Neil, just thinking, over your 24 years, before the establishment of a Māori ward seat, were any Māori elected to your council?
I can't recall anybody who was Māori or affiliated in any way, to be honest. Our demographic in our district is quite low, the Māori population, which may have contributed. But having said that, I still can't recall a Māori voice at the table.
It's
been one or two stood. In fact, we had a Māori lady stand against me as mayor a couple of elections back. No one has actually got to the table that I'm aware of.
Yeah, it's interesting, eh? Looking at the history of the New Plymouth District Council in over 100 years in its various forms, if you exclude the Māori ward seat, over 100 years there have been two Māori elected to council, Hawi Tamati and Dini Moyahu, which, not a lot, eh?
Both high profile people.
And
good people at that.
So
this way it guarantees a voice at the table. But, you know, there is an obligation within the Local Government Act for councils to ensure that Māori participate in the decision-making process. And I would challenge anyone to say how you can participate if you're not at the table. And that applies to any group.
Yeah, I totally agree. And speaking of which, you're also one of the only councils that I'm aware of in Taranaki that has a youth council to it. So you do value the voices of people who might be underrepresented.
Well, it's just, we live in a small community. It's pretty inclusive. And we just want to make sure everybody feels like they're part of it. If you share the love, I think it pays. You get a payback.
And, I totally agree.
And I think it's a good thing.
Teamwork makes the dream work, don't they say?
So they say. Or fake it till you make it. Yeah.
Both work indeed. So when it comes to the referendum, do you have a message for voters in your area who may be struggling with how they're going to vote?
Well, it's not for me to tell people how they should vote on this sort of thing. This is very much a personal issue for individuals. But, you know, in general terms, I'm more than happy to say that our experience has been very positive. Our working relationships with iwi have grown and we're in a good space there. And I just don't believe there's anything to fear, like I keep seeing in some of these posters and posts online. There's some really nasty stuff going on there, and it's just so inaccurate.
Yeah, it is. Not only is it inaccurate, but it's harmful, I think. It's harmful for people to read that kind of stuff and hear those views in our community. I believe people can disagree without being nasty.
Yeah, well, that's true, and of course it's sort of a bit of a double down when you're the subject of that dislike. So, you know, it's one of those things, but it goes on, and no doubt it'll ramp up over the next 2 months.
Yeah, I'm sure it will, and I'm sure we'll have be having some more conversations about this as well. And also a kōrero after the election results are out, after the referendum results are out.
Yeah.
See how the community felt, and not only for our mayors and councillors.
I'd like to check that, you know, my just sort of anecdotal feedback in our community is that probably the view on it has softened a little. If you go back a number of years when New Plymouth held a poll, I think the poll was around about 85% opposed, and it was thrown out at the time. And I think our community would have been very similar, but I don't sense that that's the case now. So I think it'll be much closer than that. But I'm a bit loath to stick my neck out and say one way or the other, but I think it'll be much, much more balanced than it was then.
Yeah. Cool, I like that. So you wouldn't stake your house on it, but you're hopeful?
I'm hopeful, but I wouldn't put my house on it. Yeah.
Interesting. Well, thank you so much, Neil, for the kōrero today. I really value your insight, especially as someone who has been in local government for so long. And I wish you all the best for your campaign, and we'll talk again in 4 weeks' time.
Yeah, well, let's hope it pans out. And if it does, I'll be happy to come back and talk to you again as the mayor.
Yay. Well, yeah. We'll know by then whether you're running unopposed or if someone's brave enough to throw their hat in the ring.
Yeah, well, we'll see. So thanks, Taryn. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.